Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
And good morning to you. This is actually hour number three for us. And when I say us, I am very happy to say I've got Dr. Samara Humat here. The last few months with the pandemic and various other things going on, we haven't seen much of her. You were here 2 weeks ago?
That's right.
Two, 3 weeks ago?
He's counting the weeks, yeah.
Well, it's not been fun. It's much nicer when you're here. And so
he only has me.
Do you realize I should get hazard pay just because it's just him?
I'm the one who's just been disrespected.
Okay, they've both been whining. Okay, to be back. I will admit, I kind of got comfortable being home on Saturday mornings. But I woke up to come here this morning.
Right.
It's been fun. The clinics have been, it's stressful. Everybody's stressed. I won't deny that. Everybody's going through something right now. But my goodness, when you talk to your patients and they're just doing well, they're healthy, they're appreciative, and they're safe, it's so encouraging to give them more advice and to talk to them and laugh a little bit and joke around. And, yes, I'm reading that thyroid and I'm looking at that cholesterol and I'm looking at their sugar but to be able to say, okay, go do this and to get their opinion and get their feedback and go, okay, yeah, I did pull out the rubber bands you gave me. They were sitting in some closet, but now I have them hinged to the door and I'm using them. Mm-hmm. That was just great conversations. And
is that what we call them, rubber bands?
Well, they're bands.
They're exercise bands.
They're exercise bands.
And they are made out of some sort of rubber. They're stretchy.
Yeah.
But they work great.
They do.
They work great because, as Jerry has said, the club is not the first place I'm going to be going for a little while, for obvious reasons. But those bands are very handy.
Yes.
Learning how to work those into my routine. Anyway, we've got Dr. Humat here today. Now, unfortunately, you're not going to be here next Saturday, but after that, probably part of the regular menu.
He's putting me in a room and locking the door.
That's right.
So he's tired and he needs a break.
So we're going to put these ankle bracelets on her and lock her down.
So the bottom line is we got all the lines open right now. And if you would like to call in with a question about your health or maybe the health of a loved one, a mom or a dad, a spouse, a child even sometimes we get calls about, you just simply call right now and get in line and we will get to your question. Our toll-free number, 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5752. 5757. So all the lines are open. You call right now. Chances are you can be first or close to first. Okay. We did sort of a little summary to start the previous 2 hours as it relates to what's going on with the COVID virus. Why don't you do a quick summary? Your questions, by the way, can be about the virus. We had one or two during the last couple of hours, but
anything connected to medicine.
Anything connected with medicine doesn't obviously have to be. There was a time in there for about a month where virtually every question
was about
all
the virus.
4 hours for about a month was on the virus. But now, fortunately, not so much. But go ahead and give us some of the latest information about the virus.
Okay. Well, the latest information is that asymptomatic spread or mildly symptomatic spread tends to be much less common than we thought it was, which is really good news. Mm-hmm. You know, originally everyone is terrified because they said, well, people can be spreading the virus for a week or 10 days before they come down with symptoms, and that it's those people with no symptoms are dangerous, and that's why we have to all lock ourselves in our house and right. wear masks and yada, yada. Well, it's turning out that that is probably not true. As we are looking at the patterns of spread, most of it is that occasional super spreader.
Yeah.
The person who will be in a party or a nightclub or a church or some enclosed place with physical activity and will spread it to a lot of people all in one spot. But, and if people are seriously symptomatic, the more you're coughing and sneezing and hacking, the more of the virus particles you're kicking out to people around you. But it's turning out people that don't have symptoms or have extremely mild symptoms, they have immune systems that, yes, they are infected. The virus is in their body, but their immune system has jumped on top of it and has suppressed the virus. That's why they didn't get sick. And while they do have some virus, they are not expressing that virus to their surroundings very much. And so the number of people getting sick from people that don't have symptoms is extremely low. It happens, but it's extremely low. And it's almost always within the family. Mm. You know, if husband picks it up at work and his immune system suppresses it, but it's still in his body. His wife, with whom he has very close personal contact, mm-hmm. is got a big chance of catching it. Mm-hmm. His kids, that he tucks them into bed at night, and mm-hmm. they've got a big chance of catching the virus. But the kids and the young spouse may also be asymptomatic because mm-hmm. they also have great immune systems. So yes, they may catch it, but the chances of them getting really sick with it are very low. Mm-hmm. It's only if you have live-in elderly family mm-hmm. or if you're a nurse in a nursing home and you have close contact for hours at a time.
Yeah, over and over
with
and over.
Very old, fragile people whose immune system is extremely suppressed. They can catch the disease from this asymptomatic person. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to spreading it around to other reasonably healthy people, asymptomatic people are not very contagious.
I saw one doctor on TV say the odds of getting it from somebody that's asymptomatic, in other words, no symptoms,
yes.
they look healthy, they sound healthy, what have you, is infinitesimal.
It's tiny. It is tiny.
Very tiny.
Now, there are people who get the virus and their immune system doesn't completely suppress it. And they've got a bit of a runny nose. And maybe they sneeze once in a while. Now, that person is spreading virus that's more right. than the asymptomatic person, but much less than the person that's trying to cough up a lung.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
So it's a gradient. It's not all or nothing.
Yeah.
There's the sicker you are, the more chance you have of spreading it to other people.
Right.
The closer the contact, the more chance of spreading, and the enclosed environment, indoors, where with poor air circulation, the more chance of spreading it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't wear my mask outside. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time walking, mm-hmm. running, being physically active outdoors. Never wear a mask. But I always keep mask in my pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
If I go to the store, I'm going to go inside. I put my mask on when I'm in close contact to other people indoors. And then mm-hmm. I go outside, I take it off and stick it back in my pocket.
Yeah.
So
likewise, yeah. I mean, keep it with you even when you're going for a walk, because there are other people and groups of people that are hanging around. And if you want to go to a coffee shop, well, you know, you have it with you.
I keep three masks in my car mm-hmm. because for me, my wife and my daughter.
Okay.
I keep three masks in my iPad bag.
Okay.
For everybody. And in my coat that I wear out in the evenings when we take our walks to the store. I keep three masks there.
There you go. You're covered.
The rest of the time, I have one mask in my back pocket. That's it. But I've got 10 masks.
Yeah.
Three for the car, three for my iPad bag, three for my coat, and one in my pocket.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of cars where they have masks hanging from the rearview mirror.
Yes, yes.
Become the new decoration.
Yeah. Used to
people.
Be they'd have a little Buddhist thing hanging there, you know, or a bell or something.
Yeah. I prefer the mask. Thank you. In any event, most interesting. And actually, that's encouraging, isn't it?
It is.
That's very encouraging news.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and we've just had a big demonstration of that with the protests and the looting, both. Huh? The looting more than the protests, actually. We have just had tens of thousands of people in close contact in the streets, marching, singing, shouting, and the looters, of course, running, burning. But they are exercising heavily. They're spraying stuff into the air.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people that are going to get sick don't wait 14 days, by the way. That 14-day number, that's a safety factor that nobody's going to get sick after 14. The vast majority of people, better than half, probably 60-70%, will be sick within 5 days of exposure.
Okay.
Okay. And that 5 to 10 days is when the others will pick it up. Mm. And if you can go 14 days and don't get sick, you're just not going to.
Mm. Of course, most of these rioters are young.
They are young. They've got vigorous immune systems. But the point is, tens of thousands of people were close together with no masks. It has been more than 5 days. And we have not seen massive outbreaks and giants, you know, thousands of people coming down with coronavirus.
Yeah.
Which tells us those asymptomatic or minimally symptomatic, healthy enough to be running in the streets screaming and yelling, were not spreading the virus to the other people near them.
Mm.
So, you know, nobody planned on that experiment, and there was worry.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's turning out that we are not seeing massive increases in viral cases as a result of the demonstrations.
So that is good news.
So it's good news.
Very
but that means that if you can get together to demonstrate and scream and run and riot and burn police cars, you can get together to do your job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really.
Well, but not in this state.
Yes.
No. No, we believe in anarchy, both governmentally and we allow it.
Actually, I found some cause to laugh with our situation over in Seattle. You know, where they've taken over the 6 blocks and they have the signs, you're leaving the United States, you know. You're no longer in America. They've taken this as a separate company. Fortunately for them, the powers that be know they're a bunch of stupid kids and they're really not seceding from the Union. If they really thought they were seceding from the Union, you know, there would be military strike forms come in and they'd all die in about 5 minutes. But that's not happening because we know they're a bunch of dumb kids. But here's the interesting thing. They've published their list of demands.
Oh, I saw.
Yeah. And these are demands. They say, you know, number one demand, you know, the Seattle police force and courts are beyond reform. We demand that they immediately be completely abolished. So they want to abolish all the police and all the courts immediately. And number two, they want to not just abolish the police and the courts, they want to defund it to the point that no police officer gets a pension. If you were a cop, you have to be punished by losing your pension. We won't pay cops, and we won't pay cops that used to be. Which I thought was,
wow,
yeah, pretty extreme. No police. So they're in favor of what? Vigilantes? You know, if somebody's going to come to your store and steal, you string them up from the nearest light post yourself because there are no cops and there are no courts, so you can't have them charged with anything.
I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then their fourth one I thought was kind of interesting. They want an investigation of the entire police and court apparatus, but they don't want the investigation done by Seattle or King County or the state of Washington. They insist that the investigation be done by the federal government. Now, that raised my eyebrows. Who'd have thought that these people are that big a booster of Donald Trump and William Barr?
That's right.
Because they want Trump and Barr to do the investigation because they don't trust Seattle. I got to tell you, I was chuckling over that.
They want no courts, but they want to...
They want to investigate. Well, not only that, but then it gets even more... They want... immediate release of all persons of color that have been convicted of violent crimes.
My goodness.
Now, A, I want a definition of people of color, or Asians and Hispanics. So you release all violent criminals except Caucasians? Or are there shades of color that you want to draw your distinction and we only release these violent criminals? And then, but then they want them all to be retried. Now, you've done away with the police and you've done away with the courts. And you release the violent criminals, but you're going to retry them in courts that don't exist anymore and police that can't arrest them. You know, yeah, I mean, it's just not well thought out. That's about the most I can say for it.
Yeah, and to keep your blood pressure as low as possible, Jerry.
I'm not high pressure about it.
No, I know.
I'm chuckling and laughing about the whole thing.
I know. But with that in mind, when we come back from the break, we will start taking some calls. For example, on the topic of cholesterol and red yeast rice. That's okay. Coming up.
I know about that. So
or
do
a
you.
Question of...
That's right.
Lots of questions coming up. All four lines are busy, and we're going to get to them when we come back.
I've been a longevity patient for about 17 years, and I can remember back in the day, I listened many, many, many times before I took the plunge. Because at first I went from skeptical to, you know what, I'm going to do it.
Only you can make all this world seem right. Only you can make the darkness bright.
Welcome back. Wow, love the platters. Okay. We've got four people on hold. I think we ought to just get to them. What do you
say? Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's go to Yelm and talk with Ray. Hello, Ray. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray. How can we help?
Oh, good. How's it going, everyone? Thanks for taking my call. I was at the VA and the doctor did my tests, semi-annual or whatever. And he says, everything's perfect except your cholesterol's high. And he wanted to put me on, whatever. And I said, I'm not taking no medications. And, so what can you do? He says, red yeast rice. And I notice you guys have it on your list of products.
We do.
Yeah.
Might give it, but, I haven't been going to the gym. I'm not riding my bike. I'm not, so I thought, well, maybe, stuff
okay.
like that, But,
stuff like that will help. That is, step one, obviously, if you're carrying any extra fat, if you have a belly, you need to get rid of it. So you need to lean down, and that helps a lot. The other thing is you need to become physically active. You need to get out and do something. And, with the virus spreading mostly indoors in people that are exercising hard or yelling or breathing hard, I'm not planning to go to the gym for a while until we get a vaccine. So I'm an exercise freak, but I get my exercise outside. Go out and walk, run, jog, do whatever you can reasonably do. Samira just went out riding on her bicycle built for two, though I suspect that Sunil did most of the pedaling.
I made him do all the work.
Yeah, I know you.
He's just saying to me, enjoy the scenery. See, you can't see this when you're walking. I said, okay, you pedal. I'll just enjoy the scenery.
That's right. So her husband got good exercise yesterday on the bicycle built for two. physical activity helps.
Yeah, I forgot. Go ahead, sir.
Red yeast rice helps.
Yes, it does.
But a high fiber diet helps, actually. You know, lots and lots of fiber, things that are woody, chewy. You know, you want the vegetables that crunch a lot, because that provides a lot of fiber. If you're going to have a bread, make it whole grain breads, the things that you actually have to chew. You don't just want the, you know, the white bread that melts in your mouth.
No bread.
Yeah.
No bread.
So,
you know, I've been taking a lot of your supplements for like 3 or 4 years already. So
good.
Good.
But you know, if you take fiber supplements, take things like Metamucil will help.
Yeah.
I have that. Yeah. Well, I kind of thought, well, maybe because I had taken my anti-inflammatories, the ORS or whatever,
and
take your vitamins. I said, well, a lot of them have oils in them, you know. And,
yeah.
I thought maybe that might have something to do with doing my tests with, you know, the fasting. So he said, no, you can take your vitamins.
Yeah, no, you can. The reality is that only about one-third of your cholesterol at any given moment is dietary. And the other two-thirds is basically being recycled. You know, cholesterol is there to be used. And so it's the mother hormone. You make all of pregnenolone, progesterone, testosterone, estradiol, cortisols, virtually all of your hormones are made out of cholesterol. And cholesterol is also necessary for cellular metabolism. And so you're using the cholesterol, you burn it, you break it down, you dump the byproducts through the liver into your gut, and then you reabsorb them. And you reabsorb these products, you bring them back into the liver, and you produce new cholesterol. And so you recycle most of it. And that's why I say a high fiber diet. If you're eating a lot of fiber in your diet, it tends to bond to those cholesterol byproducts and carries them right on out of your body through your stool. And over time, if you eat a high enough fiber diet, most people's cholesterol will trend down over time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's good.
Vegetables and rice, brown rice, vegetables and chicken. And you know, I'm not doing a lot of exercise. I used to do more, CrossFit and riding my bike. I had a lot of problems with, cross and things like that. But all that's gone away because I'm going to the gym.
Yeah.
So, a little bit more bike riding if I can. And
yeah, get outside.
Lots of sit-ups and squats and
good. Yeah, no, that's all good news. But get outside on the trails, get out on the sidewalks. You know, the nice thing is most of the sidewalks are empty because everybody's shut themselves in the house. So you have plenty of empty space to get out and walk out there.
So there you go, Ray. Thank you for the call.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
And get the red yeast rice with CoQ10.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's go to Brennan and talk with Warren. Welcome back to the show, Warren.
And get the red yeast rice with CoQ10. Yeah,
absolutely. Let's go. Warren, okay, we're going to go to a break right now. Warren knows better than to put it
on the radio.
To be listening to the radio. That's enough of that. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk with Brad in Tacoma. He has pain in his legs. That can be a bummer. Let's deal with that. And then Ray from Georgetown has a question about an anti-inflammatory lifestyle, how to get rid of your inflammation. We have a line open, so call us with your question at 1-888-312-5757, 1-888-312-5757.
There are certainly a lot of benefits for being a patient at Longevity. Strength, endurance, energy, they're all increased. And I feel absolutely great. I'm in my mid-70s now, and I see no end in sight. Thank you, Longevity.
What a drag it is getting old. Kids are different today. I hear every mother say, mother needs something today to calm her down. And though she's not really ill, there's a little yellow pill. She goes running for the shelter of her mother's little helper, and it helps her on her way.
What a drag it is getting old. That's He ought to know
I've heard
about
that.
It, too.
I'm not, obviously, personally conversant with that at all. But
anyway, it is a drag getting old, unless you're a patient at longevity. And then it can be quite exciting.
Yep.
Downright exciting. With that said, let us go to Tacoma and talk to Brad. Brad, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome, sir. Okay.
And my question as far as leg pain actually is on behalf of my wife. We saw Dr. Mixon in Tacoma, I think down in 2010. He may remember us. We came in as a couple, and my wife is now in her early 80s, and her outer thighs, especially at night when she's trying to sleep, but even during the day, she's getting a lot of pain in them. We don't know of any type of injury that would account for this, but we're wondering what can generate such pain in her legs this way. She has two younger sisters who have developed Parkinson's, and would there be any kind of a relationship there with that syndrome, you know, coming on? Are there different levels of Parkinson's that way? And what can we do to find out what exactly is causing this pain?
Okay. Samara?
Well, yeah.
I see you're just kind of chomping at the bit for this one.
Well,
go ahead.
It's just the way he said it, you know, that the lateral thigh pain. And one of the first things, again, there are several things, but I should go in order. But the first thing that came to my mind as he said it was muralgia parasthetica, which is a bursitis in the lateral hip joint,
yep.
which causes pain to go down
the trochanteric bursitis. Yeah.
Exactly. So with hip pain, first of all, you have to kind of differentiate where the pain is originating from. It could come from the back and could radiate down the leg, or it could be just local tendonitis, or it could be a hip issue going down the outer thigh. And so once you have a better idea after examining the person, then you can plan your treatment and or investigations before the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But if you touch her outer hip and if she hits on that, if she hurts rather, on that bony prominence on the outer back portion of the hip joint, and that is the pain radiating down her outer leg, then that's a bursitis. So she's got some inflammation in the deep bursa, and that requires, you know, investigations, but also generally we just do a corticosteroid injection deep into the bursa, and it's not only diagnostic, it's therapeutic as well, because if we get it right, that person will have symptom relief immediately and it'll be long lasting. So you want to take her to her physician, let them take a look at her and examine her, and then kind of give her the treatment for it. In terms of is it related to Parkinson's or not, people do have degenerative joint disease and they can have Parkinson's at the same time. Is she likely to become like her sisters? I wouldn't say necessarily. I wouldn't be worried about that.
But the odds on Parkinson's causing this discomfort is virtually non-existent. So that's, you know, that's not the cause of her pain.
Yeah.
So with her doctor visits, time she's gone, like the last one she went to see, they just said, oh, well, there's nothing we can do about it. And they didn't go into any depth of really investigating mm-hmm. what was going on.
There are times that I feel an urge to apologize for my entire profession. you know, it shouldn't happen. If a patient is in pain, you've got an obligation to try to figure out why. I hate it when they simply, well, you're getting old, you know, you've probably got some arthritis, goodbye. No, there's a cause, and someone needs to investigate and find out why. If you don't have a doctor that is willing to put himself out and do the investigation, call Dan Nelson,
mm-hmm.
okay? Dan, he's up this way. He's over here at Totem Lake at
Pro Ortho. A division of Pro Alliance, yes.
And Dr. Nelson is a pain specialist. You know, his first specialty was anesthesia. Then he did a pain fellowship, did one of the first ones in the country, actually, and has a lot of experience. He does very good diagnostics. If it is something that can be fixed with injections or, you know, minimally invasive therapies, he will. but he also has more than a dozen first-rate orthopedic surgeons who work with him. And so if it's something that needs more aggressive intervention, he has the people there that can do it.
Bottom line is, Dan's the guy that you go to. You don't go to a surgeon.
No.
When you need...
Surgeons do surgery and they think
that's
surgery.
Right. That's right. Dan thinks, what's the root cause?
Yes, and that's how can I fix it? And then if you need something in invasive like surgery, he has experts he can use. But he's a very, very good guy at finding the minimally invasive ways to solve your problems.
Okay. Well, do you have time for a second question?
Let me look. Yeah, go ahead, quick.
Okay, for myself, about a year ago, I started a testosterone supplement and with some anastrozole also. Mm-hmm. And at that time, my PSA was 2.5. A year later here, the most recent one, about 2 weeks ago, it had jumped up to 6.2. And so they've scheduled me with a urologist in the middle of July and in clinic visit. So as far as my age, I'm 62. How much worry should I have with this increase in the PSA?
There are several reasons a PSA can go up. If a PSA rises that far, I mean, essentially triples in a year, and if that rise is caused by a cancer, then we're very worried because that degree of rise, anytime a cancer causes a PSA to double or more in a year, it usually tells us we've got an aggressive tumor that's spreading fast. So that would be worrisome if that's the cause. But rising PSA does not necessarily mean cancer. Anything that increases metabolic activity in a prostate will cause a rise in PSA. And so low-grade infections, little prostatitis will give you a sudden rise in PSA. So, you know, it's not necessarily something bad. I'd do a couple of things. I'd want to get a urine and make sure that we don't have a cystitis or that we don't have a, you know, I do a prostate massage and collect a little exudate to see if you've got white cells and bacteria coming from the prostate, in which case antibiotics are what you need, not surgery. In our clinic, we would normally do what we call a 4K test, which is looking at four different kinases that give us a good statistical probability of this being a cancer versus a benign process. So I like that before people start poking holes in the prostate. If the 4K is worrisome, then I would normally send you for a volumetric enhanced MRI of the prostate. Because we can find if you've got densities, if you've got something growing in the prostate, I would like to see it, see where it is, see how big it is. Then if you're going to get a biopsy, I want to biopsy that spot where the bad stuff is growing. Instead of doing any random biopsies where you simply poke 10 or 12 holes in the prostate at random in hopes you'll hit something, I'd rather do the MRI, visualize the prostate, so you know what you're shooting for.
So. Okay. With the testosterone levels, they were all the way down at 220. And so now, a year later, came back at 270. And so to me, that doesn't seem like it's a very big rise.
No, no. Well, and you said a supplement, and, you know, testosterone is not a supplement. It's a controlled substance, not just a prescription drug, but a controlled substance. We treat testosterone as though it were a narcotic. We spray estrogen on kids in the seventh grade for free, but we can't have too much virility in America after all. You know, so what are you actually taking? Are you taking testosterone or are you taking a supplement that you hope will raise your testosterone?
It's an actual testosterone cream.
Okay, but it doesn't sound like it's done much of a rise.
No.
Okay. How often are you getting your testosterone checked?
Oh, let's see. Last year it was once and then just a couple weeks ago, and that's why they're concerned about the prostate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Okay, see, when we do use testosterone, we tend to check it in 3 weeks, 6 weeks, and then every 3 months. We never let anybody go a year. And I check the PSA, I check the prostate every time we check the testosterone, so that if we're getting a rise, we know it early. But, you know, yours is apparently being handled in a different way. Anyway, go talk to your doctor, but before he starts poking holes in your prostate and doing biopsies, I would strongly suggest you do a 4K and an MRI, so that you know what you're dealing with before you start doing invasive procedures.
All righty. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
There you go, Brad. Thanks for the call. That opens up a line. Call us with your question, 1-888-312-5757. This is a great time. Great time. Let me just remind you, our free health analysis appointments. Yes, you've heard me. You know, in May, we sold out of all of our free health analysis appointments for the entire month of June. And that was frustrating for a bunch of you. And then we opened the first week of July. And then I'm really happy to tell you this. I've been waiting to do this today. I mentioned this about 2-3 hours ago on the other station, that we have now opened a number of health analysis appointments, the free health analysis appointments, all the way through July 17, Friday, July 17. So we now have like about 15 or so in each of our three clinics. And that's really good news. And yes, you're going to have to wait 4 or 5 weeks. And that's kind of awkward, because when you make an appointment like this, you really want to do it. But it's the way it is. It is what it is. So I'm happy to tell you, you can go to our website now and make a free health analysis appointment in those first 2 weeks of July. And that's really good news. And again, it's easy to do. You get the two free tests. You get the free blood test and also the special in-body, and you've heard about those. You'll get a basic understanding of what your general risks are, and that's a smart thing to do. And you'll also get, we have extended this offer, you'll also receive $100 of free longevity supplements when you come in for the free health analysis appointment. So that's really good news. You get a free mask too. But again, the N95 mask. But the two free tests and the $100 of longevity supplements. And we sort of apologize, I guess. It's frustrating for you and us to make you wait, but they are available on a first come, first serve basis. So that's why I'm telling you now. Time will pass. It'll come. July will be here before you know it. And so go to our website, lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. You push on the health analysis tab there right in the middle of the page, and you make your own appointment. The three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland clinics, will show up on their screen. You select the clinic that is closest to you, most suited for you. And when you, let's say you select Federal Way, Linwood. You select Linwood, and the Linwood schedule for the free health analysis appointments will be on your screen. Tuesday at 9 o'clock, Wednesday at 10:30, that sort of a thing. You just simply click on the appointment that is best for you, and boom, it's yours. So there you go. Easy to do. Literally, it'll take you 3 or 4 minutes, and you can do it in the middle of the night, or you can do it right now as we go into a break. I really suggest you do it. Again, they're available on a first-come, first-served basis. There's about, I think Kirkland has 12, Linwood has like 17, Tacoma has 15, something like that. So go grab one. And if you're married or you have a mate, that go ahead and grab two of them side by side. If you can find two side by side, chances are you can. And make those free health analysis appointments. Smartest thing you could do is to start building up your immune system, and this is really what longevity does so well. At lmclinic.com. When we come back, we've got a question about inflammation. We've got a question about high blood pressure and sugar levels and what to do about those. So don't go far. We'll be back before you know it.
I, too, am a clinic member, and what really started me going to the clinic was I'm not feeling so hot. I will budget for the rest of my life to be in your clinic. Thank you so much for everything.
Ooh, you come on like a dream. Peaches and cream, lips like strawberry wine. You're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine. You're all ribbons and curls. Ooh, what a girl. Eyes that twinkle and shine. You're 16.
You're 16. You're beautiful, and you're mine. Hey, welcome back. It's almost 10 to 11. We got an hour and 10 minutes to go. So now's a good time to call us if you've got a question at 1-888-312-5757. And I should have pointed out before, if you want to make one of those free health analysis appointments, but you don't have a computer, that's okay. About 5 or 10% of you don't. So if you want to call, you can do it by going calling 866-86-YOUNG. Okay? 866-86-YOUNG. All right. Let us go to Georgetown and talk with Ray. Ray, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, doctors. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling. How can we help?
Well, I've got a doctor who was formerly an engineer before he became a doctor. And so he's very precise about things and very literal. And so about 3 months ago, I started taking Relief Factor to deal with some issues that I had. And it's worked on all of them, really, but one. And so last time I was in with this doctor trying to, you know, deal with the last issue, which is kind of a pain in the hamstring and in whatever the muscle is below the knee on the outside. I just don't know to that level of detail what it is. But anyway, I told him what I was taking, and he says, well, I need to know what's in those, in what you're taking. So I went and looked it up on the website, and I showed him, and he said, well, that doesn't really tell me what I need to know. And here's what he means by that. He says one of the ingredients listed is Epimedium, standardized to 20%, and there's 200 milligrams. So he said, does that mean there's 200 milligrams of a powder standardized to 20%, or does that mean there's 200 milligrams of the actual
200 milligrams of, yeah, of Icarin, to be precise. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so Icarin is the active ingredient that we're using, and that's what it's standardized for. Okay, what else?
So is that, then that would be true for all the others. So for example, turmeric,
yes,
18% standardized to, and there's 667 milligrams of the actual, what's the ingredient in turmeric?
Curcumin.
Curcumin.
Yeah, and,
so there's,
yeah,
and 660, so let me just make sure. So in, for the Icarin, there's actually, let's see, 1,000 milligrams of the powder in there to get to 200 milligrams of the actual Icarin. Is that correct?
I think so. I'm trying to visualize. I'd have to go back and look to be 100% sure. You got to remember, I designed this thing how many years ago?
7 years ago.
Yeah, and then sold it. Yeah, and then sold it off to Promodev. So, yeah, I think the actual amount of resveratrol, for instance, is like 118 milligrams or thereabouts. I'm trying to remember from years and years ago.
Yeah. Would that be the fleece flower?
Well, you know, the flowers and the botanicals are what they are extracting them from. So probably that may well be where the Icarin. Resveratrol is found in almost every botanical out there. But you know what? I'm going to have to go back and take a look. It's been so many years since I pulled the literature on this. that I am having difficulty recalling precisely how many milligrams of each thing was in it. But let me pull up some of my stuff during the next break, and I will try to give you some better answers instead of trying to pull stuff off the top of my head, okay?
That's
fair enough.
Yeah, that's good. You keep listening, Ray, because at in about 5 minutes, we'll go to a top of the hour break where he'll have an opportunity to go online and check the hardcore super details for you. And so you keep listening. And in the meantime, any other questions, or you just want to keep listening after the top of the hour break? Oh, good. Okay. That's good. He's hung up, but he'll keep listening. Let's go to Marysville and talk with Dan. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's actually Kim.
Kim. And okay.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
And my glucose levels over the last, since last summer, just spiked. And I'll tell you, I'm 6'4". 212 pounds, fairly good shape, don't have a lot of visible fat, and I try to watch my diet fairly well, and my glucose levels went from 140s in this last summer to 250s, 280s now. A1C went from 7.1 to 11.3. It's kind of getting low.
Yeah.
And I'm just going, what the heck, I'm not exercising like I was because I'm working out every day at the gym. So that kind of kept things down.
Sure.
But I don't want to take this metformin and glimepiride and all that stuff. What can I do? I mean, the doc says, well, you're not overweight. And you're in fairly good shape, but you got a lot of visceral fat maybe and stored sugers and
exactly yes, it's okay. Absolutely possible. I have many patients, again, maybe smaller than you, but completely normal weight, and to look at them, anybody would say, well, I don't think you have a problem with fat. And the minute we do their in-body, we notice that they've dropped muscle mass. So if you were exercising regularly and maintaining that muscle was burning fat for you all the time. It was working, keeping that glucose down, not allowing that fat to be stored. And then if you stop that exercise and there's even a slight change in your diet, then what will happen is that sugar level is going to start climbing, and now you're storing it into your viscera. Your visceral fat is rising. You're not seeing it immediately. You'll see it later, but your muscle mass is dropping. And as muscle mass drops, unfortunately, metabolic rate slows down. So the tendency is to continue to lose muscle, and that burning capacity of the muscle to keep that glucose down keeps falling. And so that's what happens, and it has ever so slowly. So you have to not only pay attention to diet, clearly, and I think you are, sounds like you're conscientious, but also maybe consider some method of intermittent fasting as well, because that'll force your body to use your stored metabolites, and get to a clinic where they can measure your in-body and take a look at your visceral fat as well as your metabolic rate and your muscle mass, and then help you determine what to do. And then if you're anabolic hormones are decreasing, then, which is normal aging, by the way, then your ability to build muscle becomes harder and harder. So I hear this a lot. People say, I've been doing the same workout, I've been eating the same amount, and it used to be easy, and now it's harder. And the simple reason is that there are two hormones that increase with aging. One is cortisol, and the other is insulin. Cortisol then increases inflammatory reactions and causes chronic inflammation, and the insulin causes that sugar to store, so it increases stored fat. Okay? And so those problems then...
I thought you needed more insulin.
Well, you
they,
all
they
need...
They check my insulin levels. And so... They said I was in the normal range of insulin, but I'm still taking, they wanted me to take glimepiride too. So
what happens is insulin insensitivity happens. That's metabolic insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome, which is where you're heading. So your body, your pancreas are needing to make more and more insulin to shut down that high glucose level. And that higher amount of insulin is storing that glucose into fat as opposed to using it up. So it's insulin resistance where your
insulin levels, it's how your body's using that insulin. So I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, I missed the gym, you know, and that kind of kept things down.
Sure.
I kept my muscle mass up there. And I'm looking forward to getting back into the gym because it was like there was three things in life that were certain. It was death, taxes, and Kim being at the gym. So,
Thanks, Kim. I'm afraid we got to go. We got the top of the hour break. It's a hard break. There's nothing I can do about it.
Good luck to you, Kim.
Yes. And with that in mind, when we come back, Dr. Mixon is going to do a more detailed breakdown.
That's right.
Right into the nitty-gritty of relief factor. But then we've got a question from Mike in Puyallup about how to handle stress mid and post-pandemic. Yeah, deep breathing. There she goes. And your question, because we've got several, two lines open right now. Call us with your question, 1-888-312-5757. The second hour of Leading Edge Medicine right here on 570 KVI is coming right up.